In fact, you read long later, a little bit later, the Jews were waiting in ambush for him. They said, we're not even going to eat until we kill this guy. We'll starve to death before we see this guy live. That's how frantic they were. Thank God he had the Roman army to go with him. Now, is that the blessing of God? Is that the providence of God? There was not enough money in the entire church of Jesus Christ at that time to buy those kinds of services. How much do you think it cost to hire out 400 Roman soldiers plus horsemen to feed them and you, and to escort you from Jerusalem to Rome and pay for the ships and everything along the way? So are we agreed? That is the blessing of God. That is what God wanted. Everybody agree? Anybody disagree? Everybody agree? Okay, so let me ask you this then. Why in the world was the Holy Spirit telling them all this stuff? If this was God's plan, Paul, I want you to go to Jerusalem so I can get you some protection and provision for the way. Why was the Holy Spirit coming at him from every direction saying, Paul, you're in danger. Paul, they're going to arrest you. Paul, you're going to be in, you'll almost die when they get a hold of you. Thank you, my brother. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. He wanted to prepare Paul. He didn't want Paul to get blindsided, you know, just walking in Jerusalem. Yeah, I remember this place. Boom. What? You know, so I mean, literally, he walks into the city, walks into the temple, minding his own business. The next thing you know, the entire city comes out to try to rip him limb from limb. That might have shaken his faith a little bit. Although, I don't know. Matt. May have wanted to prepare the church as well. Thank you, brother. Amen. Amen. Absolutely, that is true. I want to elaborate on what Peter said for a few more minutes, though. You know, and assuming, and really, that's actually what the church should have been picking up on. God wanted Paul to be prepared. He didn't want him blindsided. He didn't want to, you know, get hit out of left field with this sudden attack there. And so the church, really, if they had been on the ball, they should have been not discouraging them. They should have been doing what? Encouraging him. They should have been coming along saying, Paul, you know what, man? My guts tell me it's dangerous there. You might get arrested. In fact, I had a dream. I believe I saw in a vision, man, that they were, you know, they were all up in arms and they arrested you and you were in danger. But you know what, brother? I just believe in my heart. God has called you. His calling is on your life. His grace abounds with you. I just can't wait to see what God does in that situation. I believe the Lord would have you to be strong, brother. Be courageous. Be bold. Go in there and just testify and let God handle that thing. And know this, Paul, that we're with you. We are praying for you. You are on our heart. You are in our thoughts. Anything you need along the way, you just let us know. And ours, everything we have is yours. Wouldn't that have been encouraging to him? But what were they doing? Trying to discourage him. Paul, man, it's going to be so bad for you, man. It's going to be hard. They're going to arrest you and beat on you. Yeah, like that hasn't happened in his life before. That's a story of his life. It wasn't a city Paul went into. They didn't beat him up and throw him out or arrest him. He was mistreated everywhere. So what is new? Maybe they were thinking his number's got to come up sometime. But, you know, I mean, literally, you could see his reaction. They were literally tempting him to disobey God because it was breaking his heart. He knew God had sent him on and he was determined he was going to go, but all these guys are playing on his sympathies and he's like, well, you know, man, if I go, you know, and something happens, these guys are, they're just clinging to me, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what are you guys doing? I would submit to you today that that is a huge problem in modern Christianity. Especially in our modern Christian culture, where God is seen as a means to an end. God exists for our pleasure and our happiness, to make us comfortable, to make our life convenient.
and to help us to avoid every little pain and heartache along the way. We in our culture, we have painted God as the great big Santa Claus, who is there to make sure that life never has any problems, ever has any hardship or tribulation, and that life is comfy. And so if we believe that, we begin to make our decisions and plan for our lives according to those misguided principles. And we can absolutely miss what God has for us because we're so concerned with the immediate gratification and the immediate comfort, the immediate convenience, that we miss that on the other side of that inconvenience and pain, God might have something mind-blowing planned for us. We may even miss the entire gospel. Because if we believe that Jesus Christ died so I can live any way that I want without accountability, we may miss even the biggest question in life. God's glory is the chief end of man. Christianity, humanism, and I'll have to go back to that video. Humanism says that man's happiness is the chief end of life. The chief end of man is his own happiness. That everything exists to make man happy. Jesus Christ died to make me happy. God gave me the covenants to make me happy, and my happiness is the focal point of all of life. Christianity says that God's glory is the chief end of man, and that whatever it costs, it is worth it for God's glory to be magnified in the earth. He made us for Him, through Him. It's for His glory that all things were made. And yes, He wants us to be happy. Absolutely He does. But as a byproduct of pursuing His glory, not as an end in itself. The more we pursue happiness, the more it will slip through our fingers. But when we abandon ourselves to God, when we abandon ourselves to God, please say that with me. When we abandon ourselves to God and make His glory the purpose in our life, we will have more happiness than we've ever dreamed of as a byproduct of that, ultimately. But we can't pursue that. We can't cling to that. God's glory often comes at a price, and we have to be willing to pay that price because we are simply head over heels in love and abandoned to His call and purpose in our life. Whew. Did God have an amazing plan in mind for Paul? Yes or no? Yes. If Paul was focused on avoiding pain and trouble and inconvenience, would he have missed it? I think he'd have hightailed, man. As soon as they started coming saying, Paul, you're going to get arrested. Paul, you're going to be beat up. Paul, you're going to be in trouble. He's going to be like, not again. I've had enough of that stuff. I'm out of here. But that's what we do so many times. Let me check this out. This is how amazing God's plan was for Paul. All right, these guys are trying to tell Paul, don't go. You know, they're going to lose their friend, their teacher, their mentor, their apostle. They're just so brokenhearted. Paul, you're going to get in trouble. All right. Where were they at that point? Remember, we even said the word. Where were they? Caesarea. These guys were scared to death. They were going to lose their bud. Paul was going to go to Jerusalem. God was going to take them away, and they'd never see him again. They're in Caesarea. Okay. Next chapter, Paul gets arrested in Jerusalem. In order to protect his life, the soldiers form a guard. They take him out of there, and they're on their way to Rome. And guess where they stop along the way to get supplies and rest up a little bit? How about that? And do you know, when they get to Caesarea, the Roman commander wants Paul to give his testimony to the governor, Felix. And when he does, Felix decides he wants to wait around before he makes a decision, and he waits around for over 2 years. Eventually, he gets to testify to a different governor because this guy passes on the scene before he ever makes up his mind what to do with Paul. And while he's there, he gives the Roman commander an order that Paul is to have liberty to come and go as he pleases while he's basically sort of under arrest. And to provide for him and to make sure that all of his friends have freedom and liberty to come and go and visit with him at will. So in the end, because of what God had in store, Paul's friends and buddies had more access and time with him than they ever could have hoped to have if he'd never gone to Jerusalem. Is that speaking to anybody's life right now? Is there something you are zealously guarding and protecting and holding on that God wants you to let go of your white knuckles and just abandon it to Him? But you're afraid if you do, you don't know how you're going to get on. Guess what? God knows. He's not mean. He really isn't. You may be surprised what God wants to bring into your life if you can just let go of your white knuckle grip on that thing and abandon yourself to His will and just follow Him with your whole heart. Praise God. Acts 24:23. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, let him have liberty, told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or to visit him. Amen? So what's the application for today? Well, I just mentioned some of it. Man, just don't get a grip. Get rid of the grip. Let go of the grip. Trust Him. Go forward and abandon yourself to what He has shown you to be true. But here's where else I think we can really get tripped up. Okay, we got that, I think. But here's where else where sometimes we can also really get tripped up and we can easily fall into this error that these disciples fell into when we want our loved ones to avoid that pain. Yes, we want to avoid the pain. Yes, you know, sometimes we just have to abandon ourselves to God and trust His plan. But so many times we want our loved ones not to have that pain either.